Amen. Galatians chapter 6. I hope this series on the promises of God speaks to your heart and encourages you. I want you to know the promise is what God has declared He's going to do for His people. If you be one of His people, He's talking to you this morning. Would you stand for the reading of the Word? We'll read one verse, maybe some others later. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Won't you just read that, since it's first person anyway? Why don't we read this together out loud? Could you read it with me? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to preach this morning on the promise of the payoff. The promise of the payoff. However the enemy tries to convince you otherwise, I want you to know this morning once again, it pays to serve God. It pays to live for Jesus. It pays to be a believer. It's going to pay off. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for this time we have together. Now just shut us up in here, Lord. Shut the world out. Shut our hearts up to the moving of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we move through the preaching, may there be a growing awareness of the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit here. It's just words. Lord, if your Spirit would move and begin to speak to us. Lord, you know the multiplicity of needs that are here. But you're able to address all of those, Lord, through your word, because your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. May your word be that by your anointing today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I always hated this when I taught algebra, but inevitably there would be a student one day that would say, why do we have to take algebra? Or, I don't know why we have to take algebra. And none of you ever asked that question out loud in your algebra class, correct? Why do we have to take algebra? But then they would follow it with this: we will never use it in real life. I realized when I heard that talking, it sounded like, in most cases, parents talking. Why do we have to? We won't ever use it in real life. You know, the moment that was said, it revealed that there was absolutely no motivation for learning the subject. I mean, there's a whole lot in that. I mean, there's in that the assumption that educators don't know what they're doing for thousands of years to put that in a curriculum. It seems understood that, you know, it's just a worthless subject. But I would beg to differ, and I'm not going to get in here the defense for algebra this morning. That might bore you more than normal. But that's simply not true. You may not use the X and Y, but you will use in real life, you will use those principles of thinking, if you think. And beyond that, forget that, if nothing else, it's a mental exercise to sharpen your mind and teach your mind how to think. But this is no defense for algebra. What I wanted to point out is the moment someone says, we'll never use it in real life, what they're saying is, I see no purpose in this. I see no reason in this because it's not going to pay off in the future. You see, the moment you're involved in something and you begin to think to yourself whether it's true or not, that there's no profit in it, there's no payoff to it, there's no result from it, you lose your motivation for that thing. And the sad thing is that has happened with people serving the Lord. When you don't see an immediate reward, you assume there's no purpose, and assuming there's no purpose, you become weary of it, and you want to cease that. You see, the devil, if he can get you to think that there's no point in worship, there's no point in serving God, there's no results of living holy, there's no payoff of following the Lord Jesus Christ, if the devil can get you to think that consistently serving God does nothing and has no result, he's got you right at that moment. To begin to think that there's no purpose, he'll get you to the place he will destroy your faith. And just like the kids in algebra, you'll be asking the question a little differently, but you'll be saying, why serve God? It doesn't seem to make a difference in real life. If you were honest, you'd say the devil's talked to you that way many times. What's the point? What's the use? There's no payoff. I believe one of the greatest reasons people who have begun to serve the Lord, one of the greatest reasons that they turn back is because of weariness. They just grow tired serving God. I thought about this point you'd be shouting in the aisles, but if you'll stick with me, we'll get to the promise. People give up, they quit because they've just grown tired. Seemingly there's nothing to show for it. And continually they're bombarded with the enemy and with life. Does it really pay to serve God? Paul would say in answer to them, quit thinking that way. Don't go there. Don't go weary. Yes, you may have every reason to be weary, but don't let it happen. Amen. Because if you get weary, you faint. And if you faint, you're going to lose out. But if you tell yourself, I'm not going to grow weary. I'm not quitting. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not fainting. I'm not giving an inch. I'm not backing up. Amen. If you'll be that way, Paul said, in due season, the payoff is coming. For serving the Lord. However you feel, despite that it seems that there's no results right now in your life, regardless of the voice of darkness that shout at you, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy, you're wasting your life. In spite of all that, Paul says, don't stop. Keep on keeping on. There's going to be a day of reward. Amen. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man a according as his work shall be. Don't quit. Jesus is coming, and when he comes, you'll find it did pay off, because he's coming with the reward for those that are faithful. This promise lets us know some things. First of all, this promise lets us know that we will grow weary. If you look at me this morning, you say, I never get tired serving God, I never will. You're not, as Rush Limbaugh would say, you're not living in Realville. Why did Paul say, if we have that verse, go ahead and put it back up there. Why did Paul say, let us not grow weary? Why would he bring that up? Why would he mention that? Why did Paul say, let us not grow weary? Because he knew it as a fact that inevitably, attempting to serve God, we have the period in our life we're just tired of trying. He knew that that would come. The word weary here literally means out of strength from doing the same thing over and over, seemingly without reward. You're being faithful. You're doing the things of God over and over, but nothing seems to come of it. At the very root of the meaning of the word is the idea of loss. You've lost your spirit. You've lost your strength. You've been exhausted and drained and depleted and sapped. You've lost your joy. You've lost your hope. You've lost your peace. You've lost your desire. You're fatigued spiritually. They've been talking about election fatigue. No one in here with that syndrome, but so tired of all the speeches, all the commercials, all the debates. All that money spent, all that effort, all that time, and what good has it done? Nothing seems to have changed. Election fatigue may be justified, but there's something we've got to be concerned with, and it is spiritual fatigue. If we were having an altar call right now, some of you, if you were honest, you would say, that's me. I have spiritual fatigue. If we were looking at this passage, if we could go back to that verse, brother, I'll keep you busy here. If we were looking at this passage, we would see that Paul has been talking third person and second person. He's been saying you and a man. But when he gets to this promise, he switches to first person, we and us. He has been saying you. Why did he switch to first person? Let us not be weary in well-doing. I suspect he switched to first person because he was including himself. A man of God, a founder of churches, a caster out of demons, a healer of the sick, a founder of churches, a writer of scripture. Yet he realized that even he himself, Brother Wilson, had to fight that spiritual weariness and fatigue. It doesn't matter if you teach a Sunday school class, sing in the choir. It doesn't matter what your role is, however long you serve God. For every one of us, there is that danger of spiritual fatigue. I want to let you on a little secret here. You already know this, but I see this in Paul in this verse, let us not grow weary. So often when the preacher's trying to encourage the congregation, he is in fact trying to encourage himself as well. And when Paul wrote, let us not grow weary in well-doing, he wasn't just talking to the Galatians. He was talking to himself. Amen. Maybe you would rather have the preaching that creates a fantasy spiritual world, but I'd rather have that which deals with reality. And Paul said the reality is we do grow weary. Hallelujah. That's why we need the promises. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. They shall mount up with we. It's because the reality is we grow weary. But thank God for like a Sunday night, last Sunday night, when the Spirit of the Lord moves, and suddenly in the place of weariness, we find strength and renewal and refreshing and empowerment. Talking to himself, he's not whistling in the dark. He's just reminding himself and others of what God's promises are. But I want to tell you, whether you're new in the Lord or you have served God for 60 years, no one is exempt from becoming weary spiritually except those who aren't really trying and who don't really care. It's hard to get weary of something you're not really involved in. Amen. Just as our physical body becomes fatigued, so does our spiritual man. It becomes weary. We just grow tired of the battle. We grow tired of disappointment. We grow tired of praying and seeing nothing happen on the surface. And we become weary. Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing. The word well means the excellent thing. You're doing the right thing. That's the point. You're not weary because you're doing the wrong thing. You're weary because you're doing the right thing. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing. To some, this promise means little because they're not doing anything. But to others, this promise is going to mean a lot because you're really trying. You really want to do the right thing. You're involved in the work of God. And when you come to church, you worship. You're in the prayer room. You're really seeking to do the right thing. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing. And to this chorus comes the Proverbs, the proverbialist, and the psalmist, and the prophets. And if you'll read your way through Scripture, in fact, I read one of the Psalms this morning. All of those men got to the place. Listen to me. All of those men, those psalmists, those proverbialists, those prophets, they all got to the place, Brother Wilson, that they asked the question, and it's written down to read, does it really pay to serve God? Is it really worth it? Even I'm doing everything I know to do right, and nothing good seems to come of it. My neighbor does everything wrong, don't even go to church. He got a promotion at work. He drives a new car. Amen. He's moving into a bigger house, and his kids don't even get colds. Why what good does it do to serve the Lord that has come to everyone that has sought to do the will of God? But did you catch it in the psalm this morning? The psalmist said, I was struggling that. It looked like that I had cleansed my hands in vain. I tried to live for God and I was plagued. And there's my enemy. He was wicked and he prospered. He said, I didn't understand that until I got into the sanctuary. What happened in the sanctuary? Here comes the strengthening hand of God upon him. Here comes the empowerment. Here comes the Holy Spirit that says it only looks like it doesn't pay, because one day there will be a payoff. I want you to know, you may pray in secret. Nobody knows that you're even a prayer warrior. But God has heard every prayer. Hallelujah. You have made done things for folks and nobody's seen the money you've given and put out. But I want you to know God has seen it. And it may not seem to be paying off, but my God keeps a record. And he doesn't miss an entry. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the promise of the payoff. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. There's something that's become very clear to me, and I may have given this to Brother Mike because I want us to contemplate it. It's one thing to grow weary in the way, but it's a whole other thing to be weary of the way. Amen. We will become weary in the way. But may we never become weary of the way. I may get tired because I'm serving God, but I must not be tired of serving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're here, you minister. Amen. You work, and you may come weary, but don't get tired of serving God. Amen. I don't know what for sure Paul had in mind. I tried to seek that out, but I want to revisit just for a moment when he said, let us. You see, I've been preaching this to individuals, we as individuals. But listen to me, church. Listen to me, Union Road. When he says, let us not grow weary, he's not just talking to individuals. He's talking to we as a church, as a group. You see, just like the individual believer can become weary serving God, so can a church, a group of people. Let me give you an instance. Not to bring something up that you can focus on to become weary, but just as a point. I've seen this church reach out to folks over and over and over. I've seen them bring people in, the people that's come in, they're new to us. The ladies will have a shower. The men will fix the automobile. Reach out. And as soon as you do all that for them, they're gone. I've watched our church for years knock on doors in Drexel, do the sidewalk Sunday school, bus them in every Wednesday night, bring them every Wednesday night. I mean, that takes a lot of people being faithful, bus drivers and teachers and workers and cookers, and it takes a whole lot of people. And as a church, we can become weary sometimes when we look around and think, what good does it do? We become weary. Now, there's a lot to be said, and I wouldn't embarrass her for anything. But when Sister Victoria walked up and led songs this morning, that's enough reason right there not to grow weary. Hallelujah. But I just want you, and I've told my wife so many times, I've marveled at the way our church has just really been done wrong, reaching out to folks, and right after their event, when they got the gifts and got the everything that came with that, they're gone. And you know what our people do? They do it for the next person and the next. But there can be a weariness there. I'll tell you, one can get weary doing what's right and not seeing a return, but I'll tell you, you'll get far more weary by doing wrong and getting the return that that brings. I want to say it one more time. I said, you can be doing the right thing and get weary because you see no immediate return, but it's far more wearisome
to do the wrong thing, and you will get a return from that. Amen. These are important things. Even a person ought to be weary of wrongdoing. But I want to let you in on a little secret, and then we're going to move forward. The church should never get weary in doing good, because Satan never gets weary in doing wrong and evil. Amen. Weary is the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son. When he heard his younger brother was coming home and the father was having the celebration, the elder brother said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. I've done right year after year, and yet thou gavest me no kid that I might make merry with my friends." You know what that elder brother was saying? "I've served you faithfully, Father, and what good did it do me?" Next, this promise tells us, it lets us know that the danger of becoming weary and fainting comes from not seeing a result or a reward for our effort. You know, it's ingrained within the human nature to do what you get a return from, amen, and to avoid what you don't get a return from. Here's this little toddler, 2 years old, a crying and a screaming, and the parent says, "Be quiet," and they keep crying and screaming. The parent says, "Be quiet," they keep crying and screaming, and so the parent gives him a piece of candy. "Here, be quiet." Hallelujah. You know why he's not going to quit screaming? Because he just got rewarded for keeping it up. Now, there is another thing. I said quit screaming. No. That won't be on tape. All of a sudden, he won't do that anymore. Why? Because he found it unprofitable to do so. You see, it's innate in our nature to do what we get a reward from and not to do what there is no reward to. You see, I read my Bible and pray every day. I come to church faithful. I give for every special need. I help everybody I know. I drive the bus. I teach the class. I do the work. And it seems like there's nothing coming from it. There's the danger. You do not see a reward, so you become faint. You become weary. Amen. You see, in the Bible here, in this promise, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." The verses before it talks about sowing. So good or so bad, it talks about sowing. The whole picture here is the picture of a farmer. He sows seed and nothing seems to happen. It's days before it breaks the ground. It seems to grow so slowly. But that farmer knows that if he sows, there may go day after day of no return and no reward. But if he has sowed, there will be a day. There will be a payoff. There will be a harvest. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. The harvest is coming. We don't use the word sow so much today. The word we would use today is the word invest. We make an investment for a return. And I want you to know, every time you pray, every time you give it an offering, every time you read your Bible, you are making an investment. You'll see in the end, I'm not making this all about works. Amen. God doesn't do that because we've done so much for Him. Amen. It's all because of grace. But He's also said, every time we make an investment, He takes note of that, and His reward is in His hand. Hallelujah. We're that way. We're built that way. No person ever sowed seed expecting nothing or only expecting what he sowed. Every time a farmer sows seed, he's expecting more than what he sowed. And it is in our nature to do so. So many Christians have quit because they didn't seem to get a return from their investment. But I'd like to remind them, it's not harvest time yet. It's not reaping time yet. It works that way in human nature. I mean, here, a person goes on a diet. I know those are dangerous illustrations, but it's all that came to me at this point. A person goes on a diet. They cut out the ice cream. They cut out the fried foods. All the things that they love and taste good. They do that for 3 days. Get on the scales and they haven't lost an ounce. And they say it doesn't work. And then they told people, "I've dieted and it doesn't work." How long did you diet? 3 days. But after 3 days, I didn't lose an ounce. I'm telling you what. I've prayed for 2 weeks. I've read my Bible every day. And I haven't seen great revival yet. My lost loved ones haven't gotten saved yet. It ain't time to quit. It's a time to keep on. Amen. I've heard the old timers talk about the sister prayed 11 years for her spouse to get saved. What if she had quit after 10? I've grown weary. There's no return. I'm tired. Amen. I've exercised for 3 weeks and nothing. I see no result from it. You see, we want immediate results. But just like exercise, so with the Spirit, it's more than just a few days. You can't do it hit and miss. Oh, but if you're consistent over the long run, you'll find that the payoff does come. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How many's in this for the long run? Amen. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Amen. This promise lets us know that we can do right for years and yet lose our reward by giving up and throwing in the towel. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. I want to say this one more time. We're going to move on. I'll be done in a few minutes. But so serious. You can do right, the right things for year after year after year. But if you give up, you will never reap the results of that, because you gave up too soon. Brother Mark, when I wrote that, I thought of a man I had knew and preached 4 years ago in Texas. I never met a more humble man. I never met a more spiritual man. Every time I was around him, he would pray till he touched God. A tremendous man, a family man, raised some good children. I've been in his home. I've preached in his church. I was so impressed with that man. He worked for years in struggling churches and brought them out and until they flourished. And he took a church in Midwest, another struggling church. He got involved in that, and it was a disappointment. It was harder than any place he'd ever been, still trying to be faithful. I preached for him. I noticed a little change in him. I noticed the discouragement that was there I never seen before. And not long after that, I heard that he upped and abandoned his family, committed adultery with his wife, from his wife, against his wife, left the ministry, quit pastoring. And I thought, when I heard, I said, not him. Not him. There's no way. I know that man. And the thought that hit me is he lost the reward. I mean, I know the salvation of his soul is the all-important thing, but he lost the reward of all those years that he had been faithful. I'm telling you, people give up too soon. Amen. We go weary. We get faint. But we must stay in this until the reaping day. Hallelujah. Faint means to weaken, to give out, to relax, to become faint-hearted. Weariness leads to fainting. Fainting leads to losing out on the reward. If we faint, we lose heart. We'll not make it to the place of the payoff. Amen. I've read in history those men that worked for years in those gold mines, dug, went through all that hard work and labor, worked themselves almost to death, and gave up. And the next guy would go in there and with a few strokes of the pick break into a rich vein of gold. That other man, he gave up way too soon. I've seen those. Yes, it got hard. The schooling got hard. The job to pay for the schooling got hard. But they would quit right before graduation day. Never graduate. On and on we could go. With illustrations, and it's that way spiritually. People have served God for years and they give up right before the victory, right before the blessing. And however you look at it, this is no time to give up. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming with his reward in his hand. It's not time to give up. Take another stroke with the pick. Hallelujah. Pick the book up and read it again. Amen. You say, I've invited them to church 100 times, and every time they said no. Amen. Don't stop. How do you know that the 101 time you invite them to church won't be the time that they say yes? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. And then this promise lets us know that we must answer this question. Hear me. Are we serving God for only what we can get out of it? You know, it is our nature to do that for which we are rewarded. But at some point, there needs to be a deeper motive in our serving God than just doing it for what we can get out of it. Remember that old man Job? There was a sufferer there. How did all that get started? Satan came before the throne of God, and the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" "Well, sure," Satan said to God, "sure Job serves you. Look at the thousands and thousands of sheep and camels that you've given him. Sure Job serves you. God, look, I want you to look at all the children that he has in the houses. He's serving you," Satan said to God. "He's serving you because you bless him so much. He gets such a return from it." When you read the book of Job and see what Job's suffering, you've got to understand that was the question at hand. Is Job truly in this just for the material blessings and the payoff? Or is he serving God for a deeper purpose? A lot of people will serve God if there seems to be a material payoff. That's why I detest the gospel that has flooded America that teaches folks, come to Jesus and he will prosper you in cars and homes and clothing and promotions and all that. There's a deeper purpose. It's a purpose that calls the missionary to get a great inheritance and sit down all night and write checks. Why'd you do that for? He said, because if Jesus be God and died for me, nothing I can give to him is too great. How many members we used to sing, "I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Job settled the question, but the question remains to us, do I serve God for only what I hope to get out of it? One way not to grow weary is never to fall into that snare of serving God just for the immediate, temporal, material things you could get out of it. But keep in mind, you are serving him because he died and gave his life that you could live for an eternity in his presence. The best type of servant is a love slave. We won't go into that. It's in the book. Oh, the New Testament. Amen. Almost always, I'm going to say this and I'll move on to a close. Almost always when someone quits a church, changes church, at the bottom, the excuse is almost every time when someone quits living for God, almost always the bottom line is this: I wasn't getting out of it what I thought I should. We ought to serve him because he gave his utmost for us. And there's other reasons. If he never blesses me again, he is still Lord. He still is the God of gods. He still is my creator. He merits our praise, our service. Oh, there is a reward. I don't want to take away from that. But oh, there's a deeper way to serve him. That's because of who he is and what he has done. Last of all, this promise lets us know that the reward is certain. I mentioned that farmer. He does all that work, spends all that time in the fields for just a comparatively a few days of payoff at the harvest time. That farmer doesn't expect the payoff to come in those weeks of plowing and tilling and sowing. That farmer doesn't expect the payoff to come during the weeks of weeding and insecticide. He knows the payoff doesn't come then. He knows the payoff comes at reaping time. Hallelujah. He does the work knowing the payoff comes later, but he does expect a harvest. Oh, may we be that way. Amen. May we not grow weary. We look around, it doesn't seem it's pain for us to serve God or our family. And by the way, I beg to differ. You're in a family, you're trying to serve God, you've got children. It doesn't seem to pay off to get them out of bed on Sunday morning when they're crying, they want to go back to sleep. It doesn't seem to pay off to go through that struggle of finding the missing sock to make the pair and going through all of that. It doesn't seem to pay off that things get so tense, you're getting a little spat on the way to church. No, I haven't been in your car, but those things happened. It doesn't seem to pay off. Amen. But I promise you, you take two families and you take one that says it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. We'll be in church every time the doors are open. My kids will be in Sunday school. You take another family that says it ain't worth the trouble. It ain't worth getting out of bed on Sunday morning. And you give it 20 years and I'll show you a major impacting difference in the family that said we're going to serve the Lord. We may not reap every day, but there is a day we will reap. Hallelujah. This summer during the drought, many wondered if there would ever be a harvest. And in spiritual drought, we wonder the same. But I can declare with the authority of this word, there will be a harvest. There will be a payoff. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Hallelujah. You're going to reap. You're going to reap. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. There's a long time between putting your hand to the plow and the harvest. Oh, but keep your hand to the plow, because the harvest is certain. It is sure. Amen. In due season, season is a time. You say, I haven't reaped anything. It's not time for reaping yet, but it's getting close to it. Hallelujah. I said, it's not the time of reaping yet, but it's getting close to it. Amen. Some folks just don't give it time. Hallelujah. Give it some time. Give it eternity, and you're going to find it'll pay off. It's deer hunting season. I used to deer hunt, and especially like to bow hunt. I went out one morning with a beautiful, it was going to be a beautiful morning. Went out when it's still dark and frosty. There's about six of us. The time you got your most chance of seeing the deer when you're hunting in the woods waiting for them to come bed down is about 7 to 7:30. That's when they're getting close. One of the guys we took with us, about 7 o'clock, just when the deer started to move back to their bedding area, I heard the leaves rustle and got my bow ready. Here comes this one guy. Might as well go home. Been in the tree all this time, I ain't seen a deer. I just about shot him. Not really. Oh, we let him have it. You didn't give it enough time. You got out of your tree stand at the very best time, right before the deer got there. Too many have got out of there. Oh, I know I'm in the wrong church for this, but we'd have a shout down in some churches if I just use this illustration. We would. But too many have got out of the deer stand right before the deer came by. And then they go walking around trying to discourage others. Ain't no deer here. Amen. You may want to get out of this. Don't discourage anyone on your way out. Don't say it doesn't pay to serve God, because one day it's going to be clear to everyone it paid to serve God. It paid every battle. It paid every work. It paid every season of prayer. It paid every opening. Oh, how to let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. People want immediate return. Amen. I prayed every morning for 3 days. Amen. But Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I forgot who said it recently, but one man said, faith is long obedience in the same direction. That's what kind of Christians we need to be. Long obedience in the same direction. This whole promise rests upon the understood fact that people are sowing. In verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh, if you're sowing, you're going to reap. We cannot reap what we do not sow. And we cannot not reap what we have sown. Hallelujah. There is a day of harvest. Glory to God. Amen. That's why the Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. Amen. God's not forgotten one time you prayed for the lost. He's not forgotten your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. That's why later in Hebrews it said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, he will come, and he will not tarry. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back, but we are those that believe to the saving of the... We just keep sowing. We just keep planting. We just keep being faithful, because there's coming a day of payoff. Would you stand across the building? The scientist in his laboratory, a physicist, took a 2,000 pound steel ball and with cable mounted it as a pendulum. Took a little sphere cork about this big, put it on a string, and attached it to a machine that would move the string on that cork and move it to hit the steel ball. Now, can you imagine a little cork hitting a steel ball, 2,000 pounds? Hour after hour, day after day, that machine kept moving that little cork against that steel ball. That steel ball didn't move. Kept on, day after day, I forget how many days, but all of a sudden that steel ball began to move just a little bit. 2,000 pounds. That cork kept hitting it. And pretty soon that 2,000 pound steel ball was swinging with the cork. I'm telling you, it pays to be consistent. It pays to be faithful. There's an impossible situation. You let God, the Holy Spirit, that's that motor that was moving that string on that. You let God, the Holy Spirit, keep moving you, the little bitty cork. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord, just keep moving through you. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Pretty soon, that impossible situation. Let's praise Him. Don't be weary, praise Him. Don't be weary, worship Him. Hallelujah. Don't be weary, honor Him. It pays to serve God. It pays to serve God. Here's the altar call right now. Right now. You're just going to be honest. Paul was being honest. He included himself. You be honest. I've grown weary. I need refresh. Don't hesitate. We all get there. We're all there. Amen. Right now you begin to come to this altar and say, I need refresh. Hallelujah. I've grown a little weary. I don't want to grow weary. I want to keep at it. I want to keep on. I don't want to give up. I don't want to. Oh, hallelujah. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. Would you bring your weariness to the Lord? Don't walk the other way. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. Don't walk away from God's saying it doesn't pay. Come back to Him again and again and again. Just keep coming back to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine yourself that little cork ball. Oh, but imagine the Holy Spirit getting a hold of you. Hallelujah. You keep responding to the Spirit. You keep saying yes to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Him refresh you right here at the altar. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Right here on a Sunday morning, He could refresh you. He could renew you.
Someday I'll keep holding on to His nail-scarred hands.
No time for giving up.
I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Well, I'm not giving up. I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown.
No giving up.
Well, I'll keep holding on to His nail-scarred hands. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep holding on. Well, I'm not giving up. I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday I'll keep holding on to His nail-scarred hands. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep holding on. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday will I keep.
Oh, hallelujah. Let Him refresh you right here at the altar.
To His nail-scarred hands.
Hallelujah.
I'm not giving up.
That enemy that's telling you there's no purpose in serving God. You can call him a liar this morning. There's the promise. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap. I didn't preach it, but the passage says there's a reaping both directions. If we sow to the flesh, if we sow to sin, we'll reap that too. Oh, you don't have to reap that. You can reap what is good. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh, you're sowing to the right thing. Keep sowing to it. Keep believing. There's a reaping day. There's a harvest day. Hallelujah. Oh, seek Him around this altar. When you're through praying, pray with somebody else. All of us need that refreshing. All of us need that renewal. Oh, that reinvigoration. Hallelujah.